I want you to think about that question for a second. Are you a Christian? Now, for some of you, maybe a number of you, you have a very clear, immediate answer to that question. Perhaps you have a very clear testimony. Like, you know, yes, I am a Christian, and you know exactly when you became a Christian. You know the first moment that you really understood and believed the gospel. Perhaps you were baptized after that as a Christian. You're a member of the church, and in your mind, it is so clear. Yes, I am a Christian. Maybe for some of you, you're like, yeah, I'm a Christian. But if somebody asked, like, when did you become a Christian? You might think to yourself, I don't know. Haven't I always been a Christian? I grew up in the church, believe in God. Or if somebody asked, how did you become a Christian? You might think to yourself, what does that even mean? I just am a Christian. I don't know. I go to church. I believe in God. Is this a trick question? Like, we are at a church, aren't we? Aren't we all Christians? Maybe for some of you, the answer to that question, are you a Christian? It's a little less clear. You're in the process of figuring stuff out. You know, maybe your parents are Christians, but you are still working through stuff and figuring it out. You're like, I think that I want to be a Christian, but I don't know if I am yet. How do I know? Maybe you think, like, my parents are Christians. I think I want to be, but I don't know if I'm, like, ready to get baptized. So what does that make me? Maybe you're in process. Or maybe you're newer to the church. You want God in your life. You're trying to figure things out. You're doing the best you can. You're coming to church. You're learning. You're growing. You're putting pieces together. You might even really want to be a Christian, but you're still working through things. You're in process. Or maybe for some of you, you know for sure you are not a Christian. Like, maybe you know, my parents are Christians, I am not a Christian. My wife is a Christian, I am not a Christian. Or she's a good one and I'm a bad one. Are you a Christian? It's a great question for us to consider. And yet at the same time, Paul, in our passage today, I think wants us to ask a slightly different question. Same root, same meaning, just a slightly different lens for us to view it through, which is this. Are you filled with God's Spirit? Do you have the Spirit of God inside of you? Again, same question, or at least the same root, 100% correlated. Okay, here's why. Because if you are a Christian, that means that God's Spirit lives in you. Not just part of His Spirit, all of Him. All of His Spirit lives in you. To be a Christian is to be full of the Spirit of God. And so instead of asking, are you a Christian, in Romans 8, Paul wants us to ask, are you a person who is filled with God's Spirit? Are you full of the Spirit of God? Do you have the Spirit of God alive inside of you? Again, same root question, same meaning, but I wonder if it might generate a little bit different answer from us. Especially when we really consider our own lives and we compare it to what we talked about last week about life in the Spirit. You know, it's one thing to say, yes, I'm a Christian, to check that box on a survey. When someone asks, are you a Christian, to say, yes. But it is another to say, I am full of God's Spirit. I am a man or a woman who is full of the Spirit of God. But that's what it means to be a Christian. What it means to be a Christian is to have the Spirit of God in us. And Paul wants us to consider, do you have God's Spirit? Are you actually full of God's Spirit? And that's the question that Paul's equipping us to answer in Romans chapter 8. And there's really two different ways that we can think about how to answer that question. Do you have the Spirit? One is academically. You can answer that question academically. Here's what I mean, okay? So maybe you're one of those people who, when I ask the question, are you a Christian, you have a very clear answer. Yes, I have a very clear testimony. I know when I understood and believed the gospel, okay? And I also know that when I understood and believed the gospel, I must have received the Spirit, because that is what happens when we receive the gospel, or when we believe the gospel. We receive the Spirit of Christ. You know it academically. You know it theologically. You know that theologically to be a Christian is to have the Spirit. You know the math equation, okay? Gospel plus faith equals Spirit in you. And you're like, I know I'm a Christian. Therefore, I know I have the Spirit, theologically, academically. You know the logical implication. That is one way to think about the question, but there's a different way to think about answering our question, do you have the Spirit? Are you full of God's Spirit? And that is to answer it experientially. You know that you have the Spirit because you experience the power of the Spirit in you. You know you have the Spirit not because the equation is gospel plus faith equals Spirit in you, but instead because you taste the Spirit inside of you. You experience the power of God's Spirit in you. You're like, I know I have the Spirit because the Spirit is at work in me. And I'm not saying that those two things, they're like exclusive from each other or enemies of each other. It can and should be both. But what I am saying is this: to know academically by implication, by logical implication, yes, I have the Spirit, is different than to know experientially, I have experienced the power of God's Spirit in me. And what Paul is equipping us with today is the ability to answer the question experientially. How do you know the Spirit is in you? Are you a person who's full of God's Spirit? Paul is going to give us two ways to look for the Spirit's work within us. Okay, and this is going to be our outline for today. Two ways to know that the Spirit of God is at work within us. We're going to look at the work of the Spirit in a Christian. Two things from Paul in Romans chapter 8. Number one, the Spirit kills. The Spirit kills. How do you know that the Spirit is at work in you? How do you know that you have the Spirit? How do you know that you are actually in Christ and have the Spirit of God in you? Well, you know He's in you if He is at work to kill your sinful flesh. You know that the Spirit is in you if He is at work to kill your sinful habits, your sinful ways. In other words, you know that the Spirit is in you if sin is actually being put to death in your life. If you're actually changing, if you're actually growing, if you're actually being made different, being made more like Christ, if you are growing more and more like Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 12, he says, so then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Because if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, first of all, let's just get oriented to where we're at, who Paul is talking to, what he's saying here. Look at verse 12. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 12, "So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to live according to the flesh." Okay, brothers and sisters, what is that like Christian code for? What is that the Christianese way to say what? Brothers and sisters, he means Christian. Christian. Are you a Christian? Then Paul is writing to you, brothers and sisters. He's saying, Christian, we are not obligated to live according to the flesh. And there's a reason why he's saying that. It's because Christians are people who are full of God's Spirit. If we just back this train up a few verses into verse 9, Paul just got done saying this, okay? Right before this in verse 12, Paul said, "You, however," talking to Christians, to brothers and sisters, he says, "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to him." Okay, Paul is establishing Christians are people who have the Spirit. He's like, this is the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. A Christian, a brother or sister in Christ, has the Spirit, is in the Spirit, and the Spirit is in them. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to Jesus. You are not a Christian. You are not a brother or sister in the Lord. And he says, we Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, people who have the Spirit, are not obligated to live according to the flesh. That's what he says in verse 12. We go to verse 12. We are not obligated to live in the flesh according to the flesh. He's saying this, if you are in Christ, you are not enslaved to, stuck in, addicted to, perpetually sinful, selfish, self-centered lives. We are not obligated to the flesh. To live according to the flesh. We are not obligated to go back to our sin over and over and over again. We are not obligated. We are not stuck in laziness and apathy, in self-centeredness and greed, in lust and pride, in anger and bitterness. Because we're not obligated to the flesh. We're not stuck in a hopeless loop of sin. Because if that's how you live, you don't have the Spirit, and you're going to die. That's what he says in verse 13. You're going to die and end up in hell. That's what he's saying in Romans 8, 13. If you keep on living a sinful, self-centered life, going back to your sin over and over again, you don't have the Spirit, and you're going to die and end up in hell. But see, that's not what he expects for Christians, for people who have the Spirit of God, because he says in verse 13, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. How do you know the Spirit is in you? Because if he's in you, he is at work to kill your sinful flesh, to kill your sinful ways. If the Spirit is in you, what is he doing? He is working to powerfully bring you into joyful obedience to Jesus, to make you more and more like Christ. He is at work to put to death the deeds of your sinful flesh. He is at work to make your attitude more and more like Christ, to make your relationships more and more like Christ. Remember what we talked about last week? I painted just a very brief picture of what it is to live in the Spirit. What does life in the Spirit look like? Okay, and we talked about that life. It's full of love. It's full of grace and forgiveness. The life in the Spirit, it is a life full of serving and self-sacrifice, disciplining your body, getting up early, spending time with the Lord, spending time with people, giving up your preferences, like all the time, and doing it joyfully, doing it genuinely. Life in the Spirit, it is a life where your thought life, your inner world, your thoughts about people, it actually matches up with your outer world, with your external behavior, the way you treat people. In a good way. You never hold grudges. You're never bitter. You're never complaining. Always kind. Always humble. Life in the Spirit. If the Spirit is in you, He's at work to make you more like that. Or He is not in you. If you live according to the flesh, you're going to die, Paul says. Not just physical death, but spiritual death in hell forever. And you see what Paul's doing here? What Paul's doing is he wants us to see ourselves through a little bit different lens. Don't think about how you would check a box on a survey. You might think you're a Christian. That might be the box you would check on the survey. I don't know what else I would call myself. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I don't know. But Paul says, if you don't live in the Spirit, if your life's not actually being made more like Jesus through the Spirit, then maybe you should stop thinking about yourself as a Christian and start thinking about yourself as someone who needs to repent and receive the grace of God. You need the Spirit. But if you are in Christ, He is at work to kill your flesh. That's Paul's point here in verse 13. He is at work to put to death the deeds of the body, our sinful ways. If you are in Christ, by the Spirit, you are being made more like Jesus Christ. Now, it's important for us to ask a couple of questions here. Does that mean, like, if I struggle with sin? Okay, now, here's why we wrestle with this, okay? Because I'm a human like you're a human, so here's what I know. Life is hard. Sin is tempting. My flesh exists. Like, let's not hide from that, okay? Let's just acknowledge the reality. So if I sin, am I not a Christian? What if I sin a lot? What if I'm abnormally sinful, lazy, apathetic? I know people who are legit Christians, but my life doesn't really look all that much like Jesus. What if I have an addiction? What if I have recurring patterns of sin in my life? Am I not actually a Christian? And I would tell you, it might mean that. And it might not. But that's not the first question we need to ask. I know that's easy to be top of mind. It is important. But there's a different question that I think we need to ask instead, which is this. And I think we'll learn about this through the Word of God here, okay? What is the Christian's experience of the Spirit killing our flesh? What should I expect? If I'm a Christian, if I have the Spirit, and therefore the Spirit is at work putting to death my flesh, what is that like? What does it feel like? What should I expect to experience as the Spirit is putting to death my flesh? How can I know that He's actually at work inside of me when I am messy and I struggle? Okay? If I really have the Spirit, should I like never sin? Is that what I should expect? If I really have the Spirit, should I never be tempted? If I do want to sin, does that mean the Spirit's not in me? If I really have the Spirit, or if I do give in to temptation, do I really have the Spirit in me? If not sinning is really hard for me, like that's a really big battle, is it supposed to feel easier if I actually have the Spirit? What should I expect if the Spirit is in fact in me as he is putting my flesh to death and making me more like Christ? What is the Christian's experience of the Spirit killing our flesh? And first of all, what you've got to realize is what it feels like for the Spirit-filled Christian to be made more like Jesus is it feels like dying. That's the biblical word that we have. It feels like dying. It's not easy to put our sinful ways to death, even through the Spirit. It feels like death. It feels like dying. Maybe some things will come easily. Praise God if they do, but not most. Because our flesh is dying. There's a part of our old selfish, self-centered, lazy, proud, bitter, grudge-holding nature that's been with me a very, very long time that does not just magically disappear when I become a Christian. It dies a very slow and painful death through the work of the Spirit. It is a work of the Spirit. It doesn't feel easy, it feels hard. Even for the Spirit-filled Christian, sometimes it feels downright impossible. Like sometimes I'm never going to grow out of my sin. That's how it can feel for the Spirit-filled Christian. I'm never going to grow out of my anger. I am never going to grow out of my selfishness. I'm never going to grow out of my laziness. I'm never going to grow out of my lust. I'm never going to break my lying or hiding of my sin. That's what it can feel like sometimes, even when the Spirit of God is at work within us. It feels like dying. So how do we know that he's still working? How do I know that God's Spirit is in me still working to put my flesh to death, even when it's a struggle, even when it feels downright impossible, like I'm never going to change? Well, here's one thing you need to know. Even when we sin and struggle, the Spirit of God leads us back to God. His Spirit is at work to lead us back to God. If the Spirit is in you, he is leading you back to God, even when you sin. And I don't just mean that you feel bad about your sin. Do you know everybody feels bad about their sin? I mean, we can mask it, hide it, shove it away in a corner. We can do all kinds of things with that feeling. So I don't just mean that we will feel bad about our sin. Like everyone feels bad about their sin on some level. Everyone experiences conviction from the Spirit over sin in one sense. John 16, Jesus tells us the Spirit's coming into the world to convict the world of sin because of unbelief. He's like, hey, unbelievers even experience the conviction of the Spirit. Christians, non-Christians, you sin enough, you're going to feel bad. You're going to barf someday. You fill up on sin, you will throw up at some point. But what is different about the work of the Spirit in the Christian? It's that we don't just feel bad about our sin. He leads us back to what is good. He draws us back to himself. In other words, we don't just keep drifting further and further and further away from God. We don't just stay numb, cold, sinking our teeth into the pleasure of sin more and more, with God slowly fading out of the picture. It will not work like that in the life of a Christian. It cannot work like that in the life of the Christian. Because if the Spirit is in you, he is at work to lead you back to God. Galatians 5:16. This is the same Paul who wrote Romans. Okay, a lot of similarities in these two books. Galatians 5:16, Paul says this, I say then, and I want you to pay close attention to what he says, very helpful for us. I say then, walk by the Spirit And you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. Why? For the flesh desires what is against the spirit, and the spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. I want you to visualize this. I want you to think visually about this. Notice what he says in verse 17. The flesh desires what's against the spirit. The spirit desires what's against the flesh. They are opposed to each other. It's like they're pulling in opposite directions. They are at work pulling us in opposite directions. When you walk in the flesh, yes, you are being drawn and lured away from the Lord. That's what's happening. But where is the Spirit leading us? Always. Always. The Spirit of God is leading us back to the Lord. He is pulling in the opposite direction of the flesh. If the Spirit is in you, even when you are sinning and being drawn away from the Lord, the Spirit is at work, dragging you back into line, dragging you back to God, bringing you back, drawing you back to our Heavenly Father, always leading you back to God, always pulling in the opposite direction. There is always an opposing force in the heart of a Christian when you sin. There's always an opposing force pulling us back to God, to be corrected, to be set back again on the right path, rather than drifting further and further away, sinking our teeth into sin's pleasure over and over again with God, slowly disappearing, slowly fading away. So what is the difference between struggling with sin when we have the Spirit and struggling with sin when we do not have the Spirit? What is the difference there? Because some of you are like, man, I don't know. Sometimes it feels like I can just keep on sinning. What is the difference? I love Hebrews 12. I want to read a few verses for us. I want you to listen carefully to what he says here, okay? This is so helpful for us to understand. What is the difference when you have the Spirit and the Spirit is at work within you, even when you're struggling with sin, or you do not have the Spirit and you are struggling with sin, okay? There's a big difference. Here's what he says, starting in verse 4, Hebrews 12, verse 4. He's speaking to Christians who struggle. That's his setup. He says, in struggling against sin, dealing with Christians who struggle with sin, okay? In struggling against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. He's like, you haven't quite dug that deep in your battle against sin yet. You haven't quite fully learned how to have your flesh put to death. You're still struggling. Immature. There's still more to be killed inside of you in your flesh, in your sinful ways. And then he says this, verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly or lose heart when you are reproved by him. Here's the key part. Verse 6, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he receives. Endure suffering then as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there that a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, which all of God's sons receive, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. See what he's saying? What is the difference? Struggling with sin, you have the Spirit because you're a Christian, because you're a child of God. Struggling with sin without the Spirit, not a Christian, not a child of God. What is the difference? What is the Spirit's work in the life of a Christian? What is the Christian's experience of the Spirit killing our flesh. God's Spirit is at work to discipline us, to correct us, and to pull us back to the Lord. When we sin, and even as Christians we will, if the Spirit is in you, He is at work to correct you, to discipline you, even forcefully if needed, and to bring you back to the Lord. If I really have the Spirit, will I never sin? If I really have the Spirit, will I never give in to temptation? No. What's the Christian's experience? It's that when we do sin, God never leaves us alone to continue in sin. He never stops haunting us, correcting us, bringing us back to truth. I want to ask you a question. Are you bitter or holding a grudge? Have you been letting your eyes feast on what they ought not be looking at? Are you living a lie? If the Spirit is in you, He will not let you continue in that. If the Spirit is in you, He is pouring on correction, discipline, to bring you back to God. Try as you may, you cannot resist Him forever. What is the power of the Spirit at work within us? It is to discipline us like children, to make us more like Jesus Christ over and over again. A non-Christian can keep sinning, keep sinking their teeth into the pleasure of sin, and get further and further away from God because the Spirit of God is not in him to bring him back. A Christian cannot do that. God's Spirit will continue to discipline the son he loves. You know, I have 5 young kids. They range from 12 down to 6, almost 6, okay? And trust me, they're very cute, wonderful little smiles. But believe it or not, they have the ability to commit some pretty serious sin, okay? And you know what they'll say sometimes as they're being disciplined or when they receive consequences for their sin that they don't like at all? Every once in a while, they will say some things that are pretty hurtful, okay? They'll say something like, "You don't love me. If you loved me, you wouldn't discipline me. You wouldn't give me these consequences." And whenever they say that, I always remind them, no. No. If I ever stop correcting you in your sin, that's when you need to worry. If I just let you go, say, forget it. Do whatever you want. You want to choose death? So be it. Then you need to be worried. God's Spirit will correct us, even forcefully, to bring us back to Him. If the Spirit is in you, He is at work to make you more like Jesus, not to let you live in your flesh and go to hell. And the way that we become more like Jesus is to have our flesh put to death by the Spirit, and He does it because we are actually His children. Which brings us to the second way we know that the Spirit is at work within us, which is this: the Spirit testifies. The Spirit of God is not silent. He testifies in us. God's Spirit testifies with our hearts that we are sons and daughters of God. And do you see how these things fit together? Okay, the Spirit is at work to kill our flesh and to remind us that God loves us as his children. The Spirit is at work to testify, to anchor us in our identity as God's children, and they are not disconnected. The work of the Spirit in us is not disconnected. They fit together. Romans 8:14, Paul says, all those led by God's Spirit, led back to the Lord in our sin even, corrected by him, reproved by him, we are led by God's Spirit. We are all God's sons. The Spirit who leads us back to the Lord is the Spirit who testifies within us that we are God's sons. Verse 15, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to the flesh to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, an intimate cry. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. The work of the Spirit to kill our flesh, in one sense, it's an objective work, okay? It's an objective work. Either the Spirit is killing your flesh and making you more like Jesus, or he's not. Either you are becoming more like Christ or you are not. It is an objective work of the Spirit to kill our flesh and make us more like Jesus. But if you haven't noticed, it turns out that as human beings, we just so happen to be incredibly complicated and messy. And lo and behold, our maturing, it doesn't really track in this perfectly linear progression. We might look at that first point. The Spirit kills the flesh. And in one sense, we're like, yeah, that's right. I hear you, Paul. And in another sense, I'm like, but I have no idea how to understand myself. Because yesterday, I looked at pornography for like the 10th time this month. Or last night at bedtime, I yelled at my kids for like the 50th straight night. So what do I do with that, Paul? Is the Spirit at work to put the flesh to death or not? And if that's where you are at, if that's where you're at, if Christ is really in you, Paul's point is that he will not let you keep doing that forever. He won't. He will not let you drift away in your sin forever. And the powerful work of the Spirit is not only to kill our flesh, but to comfort us in our identity as sons and daughters of God himself. The powerful work of the Spirit is to put our flesh to death, and it is to confirm and assure us in the reality, the identity that we are God's children. And by his Spirit, he's leading us back to the Lord, not away from God. He's leading us back through his correction, by his discipline. Even in the midst of our fight against the flesh, even when we're losing, God's Spirit is at work to kill our flesh and to confirm and assure and comfort us through this cry, Abba, Father, that we are God's children. If the Spirit is in us, he is drawing us back in intimacy towards God. Even in the midst of the war against our flesh. We don't just drift aimlessly away from God, cold and numb. We don't just sit in our sin and stop growing and stop changing, cold and numb. He's bringing us to him as his children. How do I know that I'm a Christian? How do I know that I have the Spirit of God within me? It is not because I go to church. How do I know that I'm a Christian? How do I know the Spirit of God is within me? It's not because I've gone to church for a really long time. It's not because I grew up in church. It's not because I never sin. It's not because I'm never tempted. It's not because I never give in to temptation. It's not because my kids are perfect. It's not because I can recite John 3:16. How do I know that I am full of God's Spirit? On some level, it is because his Spirit isn't silent inside of me. If the Spirit is in me, he testifies in my heart, in my spirit, that you are a child of God, that I am a child of God. God gives us comfort of sonship, even in the midst and even through his discipline. We are his children being lovingly molded more and more into the image of Christ. What does it feel like? It feels like dying. It feels like death because that old, sinful, selfish me has been with me a very long time, and he's dying a very slow and painful death by the power of the Spirit. But he testifies that I am his son. And when is the Spirit's comfort of our sonship at its highest? When is the cry of our spirit loudest? Look at verse 15. He says, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You recognize those words? Abba, Father. Any of you over 50, you're like, yeah, really good Swedish band. Abba, Father, why is that phrase familiar? If it is familiar to you, why is it familiar? Well, this is what Jesus cried out in the Garden of Gethsemane as he pleaded with God. Father, take this cup away, but not my will, your will be done. As he made war against the flesh, as he prepared to go to the cross, he called out, Abba, Father. That is the spirit that testifies even in the midst of the war that rages against sin, against the flesh. We are God's children. We are not slaves to be afraid of him the way that those who are not his children ought to be. We are adopted into his family as his children, and as his children, the Spirit calls out within us, Abba, Father, even in the midst of our failure. The Spirit of God testifies. He is not silent. He brings us assurance. He brings us comfort that we are his, and we can always come to him, and he always receives us. How do you know the Spirit is at work within you? Is it because you do not sin? Is it because you are not tempted? Is it because you never fall to temptation? Is it because life in the Spirit is just so easy, daisies and roses? No. It is because the Spirit brings comfort in the midst of our failure, in the midst of God's discipline, to remind us that we are his children. Though we may run, though we may fall, though we may sin, he never lets us go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the work of your Spirit. We thank you, God, for the comfort that he brings, even in our failure, even in our weakness, even in our sin. God, I thank you that your Spirit is at work to put our flesh to death. Your Spirit is at work to make us more like Jesus. Though it feels like dying, God, one day we will be resurrected. We will be brought into perfect completion by your Spirit to dwell with you forever in a brand new body, no longer beset by sin, no longer tempted by sin. God, fix our eyes on that day. May we suffer well with you in this life, God, with our eyes fixed fully on the hope of that glorious day, God, that we may see your glory even more. We pray it all by your grace through your Spirit. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.